Morning, everybody. We are in chapter 15, Tet Vav, of Melachim Aleph. The story of Asa begins in Pasuk 9. I was only confusing Pasuk 8 and 9 of the next chapter. Pasuk 9 in chapter 15. Ubishnat Esrim liyerava melech Yisrael, Malach Asa al Yehuda. In the 20th year of Yerovam, the king of Israel, Asa became king of Yehuda. V'arbon v'achat shana malach b'Yerushalayim. 41 years he was king of Yerushalayim. That's a very long period of kingdom. A year more than David and a year more than Shlomo, both of whom ruled for 40 years. V'shem imo ma'achot bat Avishalom. V'yas Asa ha'yosher be'eni Hashem k'David Ovid. Asa did that which was right and good in the eyes of God, as his father David. I started reading, we'll go through quickly. He removes prostitution from the land. He removes idols that his fathers had made. His mother, Macha, that is queen, the queen mother, who had herself already become an evil influence, he removes her from her position of prominence and importance. V'habamot lo saru, Pasuk 14, there were still remnants of the high places. The bamot were the places where people brought personal sacrifices, which were now prohibited. Once there was a Bet HaMikdash, everybody had to bring their sacrifices to the Bet HaMikdash. Rak levav asa, the end of Pasuk 14, Rak levav asa hayoshalem im Hashem kol yamav, the heart of Asa was complete with God all of his days. This is going to be an important assessment here. I'm going to try and take you through two chapters in Divrei Hayamim today. I mean, that's a big job that I have, but I just think it's important to see the difference between the story of Asa as it appears here and how it appears there. Vayoveh et kodshei Ovid v'kodshei Beit Hashem keser v'zor v'chelim, he brought all of the holy artifacts of his father and the holy artifacts of the house of God. He brought in a great deal of silver, gold, and all sorts of kelim. U'milchama hayta bein Asa u'bein Basha melech Yisrael kol yameihem. Basha is the king of Yisrael at the time. By the way, we have not yet been told that Basha has become king. We're going to be told that Basha will become king at the end of this chapter. In Pasuk 33, like if you're able to fly with your fingers through the chapter, it's at the end of this chapter that it says, Bishnat Shalosh La'asa Melech Yehuda Malach Basha Ben Achia Al Kol Yisrael B'tirza Esrim B'arba Shana. In the third year of Asa's reign, Basha becomes king of Yisrael. We don't even know who this Basha is. We certainly don't recognize at this point what family he's from. His pedigree does not go back to who we knew to be king. We knew Yerovam ben Nevat was king, and after Yerovam it was his son Nadav. So we're going to see let's just read and we'll comment. You'll at least get the feeling that we're really covering ground, and one of these days we're going to finish all of Tanakh. Mar gezuntay, we should be able to get together for many years and finish it all. U'milchama hayta bein Asa bein Basha melech Yisrael kol yameihem, there was war between Asa and Basha, king of Israel, all of their days. Vayal Basha melech Yisrael al Yehuda, Basha melech Yisrael came up against Yehuda vayiven et haroma, and he began to build the Roma we described last week as sort of a great fortification that was going to separate between Yehuda and Yisrael. Now, it's up until that point, there was no physical separation, watchtowers and dogs, all sorts of things that will separate between the two. And he begins to build that. Levilti take Yotzev Avala Asa Melech Yehuda. What he wanted to do was completely isolate Asa, king of Yehuda, that nobody can go out or come in. Simply to use modern terminology, what he attempted was to place a seger on Yehuda. how do I say it? A closure. A closure on Yehuda. Asa took all of the silver and the gold that was, that remained in the treasure house of the house of God, and the treasures of the house of the king. He gave them into the hands of the servants. He sent them to Ben-Hadad of Aram, who is in Damascus, Lamor, sends to Damascus, and he says to them, Brit Beini u'bein echo, there is a covenant between me and you. Bein avi u'bein avi echo, there was a covenant between my father and your father. Hinei sholachti lecha shochad kesef, b'zov, I sent you shochad of silver and gold, lech of pharaoh brit ha, go break the treaty that you made with Basha, king of Israel, v'ya'aleh me'alai, so that he should go up from me. Because Basha, king of Israel, depends on the fact that he has entered into a pact, a treaty with Ben-Hadad, that Ben-Hadad will assist him in his struggle against Yehuda. So now what he wants to do is isolate Basha, so that Basha will not have the backup of Ben-Hadad. It would seem that Basha on his own didn't have the power or the strength to take on Yehuda alone, which in and of itself is, of course, fascinating. It's 10 tribes against 2. It's 10 tribes against 2, yet he doesn't, without Ben-Hadad, he's not ready to go to war. Yes?
Did he want to just take away anybody?
He wanted to, Basha wanted to bring them down, for sure. Vayishma Ben-Hadad al HaMelech Asa, Ben-Hadad heard the words of King Asa, Vayishlach et Tzarei HaChayalim Ashalo al Ore Yisrael. Now here the unexpected happened. What was it that Asa wanted of Ben-Hadad? He wanted him simply to break the treaty that he had made with Basha. He did not ask of Ben-Hadad really to attack Yisrael. He didn't ask that. But Ben-Hadad went a step further. What he did was he sent his officers against the cities of Israel. Now, here's another thing that's very fascinating. You have to watch words. He sends his officers. What do you mean he sends his officers? What about his army? Why does it say that he sent his officers against the cities of Israel? You know what we learn from this? It means that he already had his troops in Israel. There were already foreign troops in Israel waiting for the assault against Yehuda. All that he has to do now is send, because they had all been under the command of Basha, king of Israel. Now, he sent his mercenaries there, he sent his soldiers. And there was a joint command, and the head of the joint command was Basha. Now that he has broken his treaty with Basha, he decides that he's going to send his own officers, and his own officers are now going to act unilaterally against Yisrael. This is not what Asa had asked of him. And it says, Vayach et Ion Verdon Vet Ovir Beit Macha Vet Kol Kinrot Al Kol Eretz Naphtali, and they smote, they captured all of this territory. So here it was that the man with whom Basha had made a treaty has now simply turned against him. When Basha heard this, he stopped building this big fortification and he remained in Tirzah. And King Asa is the one who let it be heard in all of Yehuda, Ein Naki, no one was to be freed from this responsibility. I think in passing we may have mentioned something that Chazal say that is important, that he even impressed into what he's going to do now, he even sends Talmidei Chachamim, he emptied the yeshivas, Ein Naki, nobody was, there were no exemptions. They carried the stones of Ramah and all of the building materials that had been left there, Ashebona Basha, that Basha built. Vayivin Bala Melech Asa at Geva Binyamin Betamitzpah, he used it in order to build two cities. Vieta Kodivre Asa, the All of the things of Asa, all of his greatness, all that he did, the cities that he built, Yehuda, this is written in Divrei Hayamim of the kings of Yehuda. It was only that toward his old age, an illness attacked his feet. Nothing more is said about the illness. It will be fascinating to see how the story is described in Divrei Hayamim. It says nothing about what he did when he got ill, or for that matter, what is the significance of his illness. I believe he's the only one about whom we're told that people got sick, we're told, but that he became sick in his legs. Why was this so terribly important? Vayishkav Asa im avotav, he lay with his fathers, vayikaverim avotav, and he was buried with his fathers, Be'ir David Aviv, in the city of his father David, vayimlov Yehoshaphat benot tachtav, and his son Yehoshaphat ruled in his place. Now, as we're already used to the switch, now we're going to go back, meanwhile, back at Yisrael. What has been happening during this period? V'nadav ben Yeravam molach al Yisrael b'shnat shtayim la'asa melech Yehuda. V'agim loch al Yisrael shnatayim. Nadav, the son of Yeravam. Yeravam, how many years had Yeravam been king? Yeravam, how many years was Yeravam king? 22. What are you reading from? From elementary school. All right. So she's reading notes that she got in elementary school. It's a chart of the kings. I see exactly what it is. A chart of the kings. So Nadav, the son of Yeravam, became king of Israel in the second year of Asa. And he ruled, Vayimlach al Yisrael, Shnatayim, he ruled over Israel for 2 years, Vayasa Rabbeinu Hashem, and he did that which was evil in the eyes of God. Vayelo v'derechav, and he went in the ways of his father, the ways of Yeravam, v'chatat Torah, shed hefti et Yisrael, and the sins that he caused Israel to sin. And here we have already something that is going to become a pattern. Vayikshar olav basha ben achiel v'eit Yisachar. Vayakeyu basha v'gibton ashel aplishtim v'nodav v'chol Yisrael tzorim al gibton. There was a plot against him. By Basha, the son of Achiah, and Basha smote Nadav, he was killed. An assassination. The Gifton Hashem Plishtim, and Gifton that was near Plishtim, and Nadav and all of Israel were at that time besieging the city of Gifton. By Yimiteu Basha, Bishnat Shash, Shalosh La'asam Elot Yudan Basha, killed him in the third year of Asa, king of Yudah, Vayimlach Tachtov, and he became king in his place. Vayihi kimolcho, and it came to pass, kimolcho means not as soon as he began to reign, but after he had established himself as king. For example, by Achashverosh, first pasuk in the Megillah says, Vayihi b'mei Achashverosh, hu Achashverosh hamolech mehodu v'akush shavim Bishnat Shalosh Limolcho, when he had established himself as king and he felt that he was strong enough to take the next step, that means Basha, of course, it has to be accepted by Israel. It's not that simple all the time for an assassin to find himself as king, though, of course, it has happened so often in history. No, because we don't call these people are not called assassins. Right, a coup. The word you used before is a more correct word. In other words, there are assassins, but then there are people who make coups. A coup already is, you know, leaves the impression as though this is this is politically correct and it's good for the people. And on the contrary, the one who makes the coup is then raised to the position of king. By Yehikim Alcho, he cut Kol Beit Yeravam. He smote the entire house of Yeravam. Lo Hishir Kol Neshama Li Yeravam. didn't leave a soul alive from the house of Yerovam ad hishpido until he destroyed him utterly. Kedvar Hashem asher diber biyad ato afiyo hashilami. As God had said, huh? What? No. No relation to two different Achiyas. And here again, we have something that is always interwoven in the Sifrei HaTanakh. There are events that take place. I'm sure that the political commentators of the day were able to explain exactly the source of Basha's strength. They were able to describe the fact that Nadav was not a good king. There was a great deal of dissatisfaction, and into the breach steps the great hero Basha. Everything can be explained in absolutely human terms. Along comes the Navi and tells us, all of your political commentary aside, it's the hand of God that is working in history. And despite the fact of how you're going to explain it, then most probably there were all sorts of ways and means of explaining everything that had taken place in the normal course of events. This had to happen. Nadav was impossible. I mean, I could very well write my commentary now. What's he doing attacking Plishtim altogether? Why is he besieging a city? Basha has just what is Nadav doing attacking Plishtim? Plishtim is not the enemy. The enemy is Yehuda, right? What's Basha going to do? Basha is the one who is going to go against what he sees to be the real enemy. He may very well have decided that this is a military adventure that is absolutely futile and unnecessary, and what are we doing there? We have no business attacking Plishtim. Do we need other enemies against us? Our mortal enemy is Yehuda. That's where we should be. All right? You think I can't write an article like that? Of course I can write an article like that. And I'm sure...
Even published it.
Absolutely. What are you talking about? I could create an entire scenario, and not only that, most probably the scenario was absolutely true, but that was on the human level. But there's another hand. There's another hand that is making all of these movements, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chidvar Hashem asher dibbur biyad avdo afiyah shelomi. For the sins of Yerovam that he sinned and he caused Israel to sin, the anger that he angered the God of Israel. Very rare is this term used. Everything else that Nadav did is written in Sefer Divrayom. Umilchama hayta bein Asa ubein Basha melech Yisrael kol yimeihem. During their entire time, there was war between Asa and Basha. Now we're told at the end of the parak, we are told where Basha came from, when he became king. Ishnat Shalosh LaAsa Melech Yehuda Malal Basha Ben Achia Kol Yisun, the third year of Asa, Basha the son of Achia became king. V'tirza Esrim V'arba Shana, 24 years. V'yasa Rabbi Yini Hashem V'yela B'derech Yerovam V'chatato Asher Hefti Et Yisrael. Here's the terrible tragedy of Basha. You know, he's the one that removes Yerovam. He most probably presented himself as the one who is going to save Klal Yisrael from the terrible, terrible reign of Yerovam ben Nevat. He most probably said that he's going to bring Yiddishkeit back into the country. He's going to remove all of the terrible abominations of Yerovam ben Nevat, and all that happened was that he really followed in his footsteps. Yes.
Nobody really learns from anyone else. So people
of these events were really the fulfillment of the prophecy. Otherwise, you know what? Otherwise, you can't say this, because otherwise it would mean that Ahijah becomes a prophet who makes certain that his prophecy will be self-fulfilling. You know, it means that Ahijah is going to get a hold of Vashti and tell Vashti, you know, listen, God told me that the entire house of Jeroboam has to be destroyed. Go ahead and do it. That's not what happened. He had made his prophecy. And now it comes true. Now it comes true. All right. Chapter 16 already, we're going to see the punishment that is going to befall Basha. But now I want you to open up your Divrei Hayamim. Divrei Hayamim. Divrei Hayamim Bet, right. Divrei Hayamim Bet, chapter 14, and I'm going to do some skipping, so keep your fingers moving with me. Chapter Yud Dalet, Divrei Hayamim Bet. It means in one chapter, in part of one chapter, the entire story of Asa was told. Not even an entire chapter. Maybe some 20 psukim is all that we have about Asa. Now let's take a look in Divrei Hayamim, chapter 14. Vayas Asa hatov v'hayosha v'enei Hashem alakav. What did it say in our chapter? Huh? No. In chapter 15, what did it say? Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayas Asa Hayoshar Be'enei Hashem Kedavid Aviv. Asa did that which was good in the eyes of God, like his father David. And what did it say over here? Here it said, Vayas Asa Hatov Vahayasha B'enei Hashem Alakav. That which was good and right. Good always represents Bein Adam L'Chaveru, between man and fellow man. Yashar means between man and God. It's very interesting that in Sefer Melachim, it says, Vayas Asa HaYosha Be'en Hashem Kedav Raviv. What they are emphasizing in Melachim, what they are emphasizing is the Bein Adam LaMakom aspect, the relationship between Asa and God. The Bein Adam LaChavero aspect does not appear here. All right, let's read. Today is reading day. Chapter 14, Divrei Hayamim Bet, Chronicles 2. Got it? Vayas Asa Hatov Vahayosha Bein Hashem Elokov. Vayosha it means Bechot HaNechar. He removed the strange altars of the alien gods, Vahapamot and the high places, Vayishabera Tamatzebot, and he smashed the pillars, Vayigadat HaAsherim, and he cut down the Asherim. Vayomer LeYehuda, and he said to Yehuda, listen to what the king is doing. You see, what's going to happen with Asa is the following. I'm going to let you in on what the end of the story is going to be. Asa is going to show tremendous promise. Asa is going to bring great hope. Not only that, Asa is going to be given an opportunity that most of the other kings of Yehuda never had. And tragically, he's not going to seize the opportunity. Do you know what opportunity he's going to be given? He's going to be given the opportunity to again reunite Yehuda and Israel. According to our rabbis, the separation of the kingdom was supposed to last no more than 36 years. Why 36 years? Because Shlomo was king for 40 years. in the fourth year of Shlomo's reign, he married the daughter of Paro. He was married to her for 36 years. And because of that, the punishment that was to be meted out to the Jewish people was that the kingdom would be separated, 10 tribes would be taken away from Yehuda for 36 years, corresponding to the 36 that he had been married to the daughter of Pharaoh. Huh? Midah keneged midah, measure for measure. The 36 years are up during the reign of Asa. And there's an important struggle at that moment in time. We're going to get to it. And he just doesn't do what he should have done. There was an opportunity. He had to seize it. And he didn't seize that opportunity. What? No. Or we can't be certain that he did. That would never be fair. Well, you know, I'm going to let the psukim read. I'm going to let the psukim tell us the story. On some level, he may have or should have known that he is being presented with a great opportunity, which would, of course, have changed the course of Jewish history completely. And because he doesn't take advantage of the great opportunity, ultimately Jewish history will have to wait for the coming of the Mashiach. There are great moments, and these great moments are simply frittered away, not utilized.
But Moses came.
Huh?
Oh,
we're going to see. There is a Navi who's going to be standing there and prompting him along. That's why when you asked the question a moment ago, did he know? So my first reaction was, well, you know, no. And then I went back from that a little bit because there are indications. In other words, he isn't being told like, this is it, seize the opportunity. That's not fair. People have to have the ability to choose freely
to recognize the opportunity
and to take advantage of it. But he knows that there are that they are living through great times during his reign. Let's go. Vayomer Yehuda lidroshet Hashem elokei avoteihem. He told Yehuda to seek out the God of their fathers, the la'asot ha-torah v'mitzvot, to do Torah and mitzvot. Do you understand? You see how he's beginning his reign? We're talking about a king who calls upon the people to seek out God, to perform Torah, study Torah, perform mitzvahs. Now you see, in Divrei Hayomim, we are told more about what he did. All that it said in Malachim was that he removed the abominations from the country. It didn't say that he went out there and clearly called upon the people to become a people of God. He removed the high places and the chamanim. Chamanim were sun gods. And the kingdom was, there was peace, there was tranquility. He built the defense cities in Yehuda. He shocked the hardest. You see, he had the ability. He was given the breathing spell during which to fortify Yehuda. Because there was no war. There was no war at the early part of his reign. Ve'ein imo milchama b'shanim ha'el, in those years there was no war. Ki hiniach Hashem lo, because God had given him rest. So he said to Yehuda, nivnet ha'orim ha'el, let's build these cities. V'nasev choma u'migdalim d'latayim u'brichim. And we will build them, you know, surround them with walls and towers. And gates and bolts. The land is still there before us. And he realizes why he is being given this opportunity, and he says it clearly. Because we're seeking out God, therefore God gives us peace, and he's giving us the opportunity to fortify all of Yehuda. We sought him out, and he has given us peace around. Vayivnu vayatzlichu. They built and they had great hatzlach, like that, great success. He's fortifying simply because one does not know what tomorrow will bring. I think he already has the feeling, he knows that he's living in a very volatile part of the world. Very little different than it is today. Always volatile. He doesn't know, remember? Shishak, king of Egypt, had invaded Yehuda and had walked off with all of the wealth of Yehuda. Did we forget that battle in the days of Rehoboam? Shishak, king of Mitzrayim, was able to come up and walk off with all of the wealth. All of the wealth. That means they were open to attack. Who knows when the next Egyptian king is going to invade? For all we know, he may very well be aware of the fact that in the north there is a growing power, Ben-Hadad. The only way to ensure shalom is with bitachon. You have to be strong. And therefore, now that he's given the opportunity, it's sort of the calm. I get the feeling that he's afraid that this is the calm before the storm. And the only reason why they have this calm is because they've sought out God. And therefore, they have to seize the moment, grab the opportunity, and fortify, because they know. How often have they had peace in Eretz Yisrael? How often do they have peace? Isn't it? Vayi la'aso chayil nosei tzinov romach. He had an army of those who carried shields and spears. Miyehuda shlosh meot elef, 300,000. And from Binyamin, those who carried shields, v'dorchei keshet, and archers, matayim u'shmona of 280,000. Kol eile gibore chayil. All of them were mighty men. And precisely what he had anticipated happened. By Yetze Aleim Zerach HaKushi. Zerach the Kushi, you know, from out of left field there's an invasion of Eretz Yisrael. Now here we're going to learn of a battle. Doesn't appear at all in Malachim. It's not here at all. I'm not going to answer all of these questions, but we're going to have to get a picture of wherein lies the difference between Sefer Malachim and Sefer Deriyam. Zerach HaKushi went out b'chayil elef alafim. How much is elef alafim? A million. A thousand thousands. A million men came to battle. Against how many? No. More. 580,000. We're talking about massive armies that are going to be pitted against one another. Umar kavot shleish shlosh meot and 300 tanks. Isn't the Merkava a tank? Vayavo ab Moresha, and he came up until a place called Moresha. Vayetze Asa lefanav, Asa went out before him, Vayarchu melchama begai tzifato lemoresha, in a valley, tzifato lemoresha, a valley from where you can see Moresha. The enemy is in Moresha, and here he is in a valley where you can see it. Here you're getting a picture of who Asa is. Asa called out to God as God by Yom, and he said, Hashem, ein imcha la'azor bein rav lo'ein kar. There's nothing that stands in your way from helping, be it one who is many in number to the one who has no kar, the one who has no strength. You're the one that can help anyone. Who was it that said something similar to this? I don't expect you to remember, okay? Yehonatan. When Yehonatan goes out to battle against the fortress of the Plishtim, and it's he alone, together with the one who is his armor bearer, so Yehonatan says, Ein Lashem Matzor, there's nothing that can stop God from helping the one who is stronger, the one who is weak. It's all in his hands. So he says, Ozreinu Hashem Elokeinu, help us God our God, ki alecha nishanu, because upon you we have leaned. Ein lanu al mili hishayin, we have no one upon whom to lean ela alavinu shabashamayin. Ubishimcha, and it's in your name, banu al hehamon hazeh, we have come against this mass of people, a million men. Hashem Elokeinu ato, you are our God, al yatzor imcha enosh. Let no man stop you. Al yatzor. Yatzor, here comes from the term, you know, atzor, stop. No man can stop you. Now, interesting, I saw one of the mafreshim here that says, why is the term enosh used? I mean, a lot of terms for men, you know, there's Adam, there's Ish, enosh, and this never occurred to me. Enosh represents man's frailty, man who is weak. Remember, if we hear it every so often that somebody was hurt and his matzav is anush. Anush means there is certainly a similarity between enosh and anush. Enosh, therefore, represents man, the idea of man being frail, weak. Certainly when you're talking about man pitted against God, so the finest term to use is enosh, because all men are anush when they are compared to God. Vayigav Hashem et HaKushim, God smote the Kushim, lefnei Asa before Asa, lefnei Yehuda, vayonusu HaKushim, and the Kushim fled. Vayir defeim Asa v'hom Asherimo, Asa and the people who were with him pursued them ad legror, till Gror. Gror is near the land of Plishtim. Vayipo mikushim, and from the Kushim they fell, le'ein lehem nichya. There was no life left in them. They had been exhausted by the battle. Ki nishbiru lefnei Hashem v'lefnei Machaneu, because they had become broken before God. V'lefnei Machaneu. This is another one of those places in Tanakh that I have pointed out to you some years in the past. What do you mean, lefnei machaneu, before God's camp? Who is God's camp? The Jewish people are God's camp, because the one who wages war against the Jewish people is the one who wages war against God. What are the psukim in Tanakh, in Torah, that are used in order to point this out? When does Rashi say it twice in Chumash? One was in Baalotcha. Vayehi bin Soa ha'aron, when the Aron began to journey, Vayomer Moshe kumo Hashem v'yafutsu oyevecha v'yanusu misanecha mifanecha. Your enemies, those who hate you, who are the ones that are God's enemies and hate God? Ela hakomim ayisrael, whoever rises against Israel is one who rises against God. So therefore, Israel, who wages war, they are the camp of God. The other place where we have it in Torah is Yemincha Hashem. I started with the right pasuk. Uverov geoncha, in your greatness, taharos, you shatter komecha, those who rise up against you. Asks Rashi, mihem, who are the ones that rise up against God? Ella, whoever rises up against Israel is the one who rises up against God. Here the camp of Asa is referred to as machanehu, the camp of God. By Yisru Shalal Harben Yod. I'm reading further. Let's go. Today's reading day. And they carried away a lot of loot, booty. Vayaku et kol ha'orim sivad bro, they smote all of the cities around bro, ki hoyo pachad Hashem aleim, because the fear of God was upon them. Do you see how many times it's being said time and time again? The one who's waging war out there is God. Vayavozu et kol ha'orim, they took spoils from all of the cities, ki bizor rabo v'tabahem, because there was a great deal of spoil. You may recall that I said last week that what had Shishak, king of Mitzrayim, taken from Rechavam? The great wealth the Jews had taken with them when they came out of Mitzrayim. Shishak, king of Mitzrayim, took this from Rechavam. In the interim, Zerach, the Cushite, is the one who conquered Egypt, and he took it from Egypt. And they brought this out to battle with them, and all of this wealth now returns to Asa. That means the symbolism of the wealth of Mitzrayim coming to Asa represents the idea that now is the great opportunity again for Klal Yisrael to rise to the peak that they are able to achieve. The wealth has now returned home to Yerushalayim. Huh?
Why did the army came to fight? Why did they bring the wealth with them?
Rashi and the Rashbam in the Sech the Pesachim say the following, that they, in ancient times, they would bring the wealth of the nation out to battle so that soldiers should be able to feel that they are fighting for everything that's theirs. It was some form of encouragement for the soldiers, like, here it is, this is what you are fighting for. The Gam Ohalei Mikna Hiku, they also smote all of the tents for their Ohalei Mikna could have been the name of a place, according to some, according to the Mitzudas, it's the name of a place. Vayishbu Tzolarov, they captured many sheep, Ugemalin, Vayashuvu Yerushalayim, and they returned to Yerushalayim. By the way, the Vayashuvu Yerushalayim is absolutely unnecessary in the pasuk. After every battle, it says where they went back to. And when everybody went back to Yerushalayim, there were 580,000 men. Everybody went back home. Vayoshuvu Yerushalayim represents the idea that the wealth of Mitzrayim has now returned to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim now has the ability to become the great spiritual center of the world. Ba'azaryahu ben Oded, here's another Navi that you would not find out about without learning Divrei Hayom. Ba'azaryahu ben Oded, Haytah Alav Ruach Elokim, the Spirit of God came upon him. He went out before Asa. This is the answer to your question. Shema'uni Asa v'chol Yehuda v'nyamin. Listen to me, Asa, and all of Yehuda v'nyamin. Hashem imachem v'hiyotchen imo. God is with you as long as you are with him. V'im tidrishuhu, if you will seek him out, yimatzeh lachem, he will be found with you. V'im ta'azvuhu, and if you forsake him, Ya'azov etchem, he will forsake you. He will forsake you. I think it's interesting that the Navi does not refer to Asa as king. He says to him, Shmauni, listen to me, Asa. He wants most probably to let Asa know that any kingdom that he has, everything comes from God. Without that, he's Asa, he's a commoner. Now, the next few psukim over here, there is a big machloket amongst the mafarshim. The machloket is these words of Azaryahu ben Oded, the prophet. Is he describing the past, or is he describing what the future is going to be? And watch. We'll see both of them. V'yomim rabim liyisrael, there were many days, really meaning many years, a long period for Yisrael, l'lo l'keyemeth, without a God of truth, u'lo kohen mora, u'lo Torah, without a kohen who will teach, and without Torah. V'yoshav batzarlo al Hashem l'kei Yisrael, and Israel, when they were in dire straits, they turned to the God of Israel, v'yivakshuhu, and they sought him out, v'yimatzeh lehem, and he made himself found. He was there. They sought him, and he was there. Now, it could be talking about the past, or all of the years of the Shoftim. There was a period of 350 years with no real central leadership. And every time they would sin, God would punish them. They turned to God, and God came back to them. The Gra and the Malbim and a number of the other Mepharshim, Vilna Gaon amongst them, say that this is talking about what might and what could happen to Israel if they are going to forsake God. That there will be many days for Israel without Elokeyemet, without a God of truth. There will be. And remember, the Navi is always describing the future as though it had already happened, because he is describing what he has seen in his mind's eye. And the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, takes each one of these. There are a number of expressions over here. There's an expression, Lelo Elokei Emet, without a true God. Lelo Kohen Moreh without a Kohen who teaches Ulalot Torah and without Torah. He says that they describe three of the great exiles that are to come. The Babylonian exile is Lelo Elokei Emet, without a true God. Lelo Kohen Moreh, without a Kohen who teaches, represents the Persian exile. And Lelo Torah represents what comes after the Persian exile, comes the Greek. No peaceful one who goes out or comes in. Ki muhumot rabot, there will be many, many muhumot, there will be many
disturbances.
But there's something about the word muhumot that's worse than disturbance, exactly. Confusion, terrible confusion, upheaval, very good. What did you say? Turmoil. I'll call Yoshvei Ha'aratzot upon the inhabitants of all lands. V'chutetu goy begoy, v'ir v'ir. And there will be clash. They will shatter against one another. Nation against nation, city against city. Where is this word? What is v'chutetu? Very good. The great pasuk on the Isaiah wall of Yemot HaMashiach. V'chutetu charvoteim li'itim. They will beat their swords into plowshares. Here it is the beating of and shattering of nation against nation, city against city. God is the one who confused them and threw them into turmoil at every time of sorrow. But then physical, be strong, let not your hands become weak. Because there is reward for what you do. What is that? Where is that pasuk? Huh? No. Yirmiyahu? Where in Yirmiyahu? By Rachel. Kol berama nishma nihi b'chi tamrudim Rachel mivaka al baneha. And the Rebbein Shem says to her, Mini kolech mi bechi ve'inayich mi dima v'shavu vonim l'guvulam ki yesh sachar l'fu'ulateich v'yesh tikva l'akariteich. Very good. Shapping Nachasam. Very good. The Cheshnoa Asa Hadvarim Ha'elo, when Asa heard these things, Vahanevua Odeid Hanavi Hitchazek, and the prophecy of Odeid Hanavi gave him strength. Vayaver, he again, huh?
The first prophecy says,
Yeah. Oh. So, all right, the Radak says that it's supposed to be understood as the son of Odeid. So, but it's not an answer yet. Why? Okay, I didn't think of that. All right, how do you like that? Huh? Unless of course. All right, here I'll just off my little cuff. I'll the word Odeid. What does the word Odeid mean? To give encouragement. It's a play on the name of the Navi's father. That this was a nevuah that gave him idud, great encouragement and great strength. And he removed all the detestable things from the land of Yehuda and Binyamin, and from the cities that he had conquered from the mountain of Ephraim. What's important is we're going to see and we're watching the greatness of Asa, and then it's going to go sour.
And he gathered together all of Yehuda and Binyamin and those who lived with them.
What an important pasuk.
I don't think there's any pasuk like it in Malachim. You know, this is one of those broad statements, but I think I'm right.
You have to watch what a pasuk is telling you. It says he gathered all of Yehuda and Binyamin and those who lived with them. Who are the ones that lived with them? From Ephraim, from Menasheh, and Shimon, ki naflu all of Yisrael arod, because there were many from Yisrael who fell into Israel. In other words, there were many who were opposed to Yeravam ben Nevat, and they fled Israel and went to Yehuda, which means that there were other tribes that were represented. Not everybody simply bought the reformation of Yeravam ben Nevat. Without this pasuk, we wouldn't have known. We would have thought that everybody there accepted the changes that Yeravam ben Nevat brought. But no, there were many people who joined Kinaflu, all of Yisrael, Bir Otam, Ki Hashem Elokavimo, when they saw that God, his God is with him. Kinafal Pachad HaYehudim Aleihem in the Megillah, there were so many who joined, many, Larov, it says, by Yikotsu. Here we're going to have a description of the Yontif. In another shir, we talked about there were a few very special celebrations of the Yontif of Pesach in history. There was a Pesach in the days of Yoshua, there was one in the days of Chizkiyahu, there was one in the days of Yoshiyahu. Most people are unaware of the great celebration that's going to be described here. By Yikortzu Yerushalayim, Achodesh HaShlishin, they gathered in Yerushalayim in the third month, Lishnat Hamesh Esrei L'Malchut Asa, in the 15th year of the kingdom of Asa. By Yizbechul Hashem, by Yom Ahu, Min HaShalol, they brought sacrifices that day from all of the spoils. Hevim Bokar, Shvameot, 700 Bokar, with Song Yishivat Alavim, and Shatzkalah, 7,000. By Yavo, Babrit, and they came into the covenant. What Yom Tov are they celebrating? Third month. Shavuos they're celebrating. This is a great celebration of Shavuos, a rededication to the covenant that took place at Sinai. By Yavo Babrit, Lidrosh et Hashem Elokeinu, to seek out God, the God of their fathers, v'chol levavam u'v'chol nafshem, with all of their heart and with all of their soul. V'chol asher lo. Now listen to this. Pasuk says that anybody, there was a decree from the king that anybody who's not going to seek out God, the God of Israel, will be put to death. King has a right to act on his own, even that which is not designated as so in Torah. The anybody who's not going to seek out the God of Israel will be put to death. From child to adult, man to woman. And they swore to God in a great voice, the sounds of the trumpets and the sounds of the shofarot, the trua. What is that reminiscent of? That's reminiscent of Maimed Har Sinai, the ongoing sound of the shofar. Here was a rededication of the Jewish people to God. By Yismuchu Kol Yehuda Al Hashvua, and all of you that were happy about the oath that they had taken out, Ki Bechol Levavam Nishvau. With all of their heart that they swore, and with all of their will that they sought him out, by Imotzei Lehem, and God was there with them, by Yonach Hashem Lehem Yisaviv, and God gave them peace from all around. None of this appeared in Malachim. The next pasuk did appear in Malachim. V'gam Macha Ein Asa HaMelech, and Macha, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being the queen mother. Asher Ostal Asher Miflatzet, she had made that Miflatzet. Vayichnat Asa Miflatzta, he destroyed, he cut it up, Vayidak, and he crushed. Vayisrof Benachal Kidron, and he burned it in Nachal Kidron. Vahabamat Lo Saru Mizrael, Raklevav Asa Ayashalem Kalyama. The Bamat, there was still here in their high places that were used by people. It was something that they had been doing for 350 or 400 years, and it was simply difficult to uproot it entirely. The Bamot, of course, were places where people brought sacrifices to God, not to idols. But once the Bet HaMikdash was built, this was no longer permitted. The heart of Asa was with God, or was complete all of his days. By Yoveh, Kachay Aviv, B'Kodashon, Beit Olakim, Kesef Ezra, V'chenum, this we also had in Malachim. There was no war until the 35th year of the kingdom of Asa. By the way, this is a pasuk that I don't believe. This kind of a pasuk does not appear by any of the kings. To say that there was no war until first of all, here there had been a war. There had been a war. But it was not a war with fellow Jews. Here, there was a war, but that war, of course, was a war in a sense that God had waged for him. And somehow or other, they're telling us, until the 35th year of Malchut Asa, the timing over here is very difficult, and that's going to create a very big problem. But you may have heard me say something earlier about the importance of the number 36. And the next chapter begins with B'shnat Shloshim V'Shesh L'Malchut Asa Olah Basha Melech Yisrael Al Yehuda V'Yiven Et Aromat. This pasuk without the timing appears in Malachim. It doesn't say in Malachim when Basha attacked. By the way, it's also going to be impossible that in the 36th year of Asa, Basha attacks, because Basha is long dead by the 36th year. Which means that the term 35 and 36 over here cannot be chronologically correct. But I don't have enough time to explain that to you now. We'll say that
what
the next
week. What does it mean when it says, Habamot lo sarui Yisrael? Because Yisrael is used in these passages as the northern kingdom, and sometimes it's used in the way we would use it in modern times to speak of the people of Israel. It seems to me rather irrelevant that if he was doing all these things, and even cutting down his mother, that we would have a sentence. Does that mean, meanwhile, in Israel,
the very interesting question. All I can say about the Bamot is, according to many, if not all of the Mefarshim, these were not Bamot that were used. They were there, but they weren't being used anymore. Remember, Israel had all entered into a new covenant with God on Shavuos. But what he should have done is, even the ones that were not being used, remove them utterly from the land. But he didn't do that. And by not doing that, this is going to be one of the mistakes that he made. He had the opportunity, and he should have done it. And later, people are going to return to Bama. But I'm not answering the question that you asked. Is the term Yisrael now always used only to refer to the 10 tribes? Or can Yisrael be a generic term? It's a good point you make. You know, we're gonna have to watch the psukim. And anyway, you have another week of homework. Chapter 16 in Divrei Hayamim Bet. Go over this chapter so that we will have a fuller understanding of Asa, and then we'll go to Yoshua. Anshei Knesset Hagadola. By the way, look in your Torah in Sinai. They bring the and by the way, that's all. It was written years later, and they had a different agenda, and that's going to be part of our explanation of the difference between Malachim and Divrei Hayamim.
Much more spiritual.
It's much more spiritual. Very good point. Here we learn the whole chapter. God is with him. He seeks God. None of this was said in Malachim. None of it. Spiritual. I think that's an excellent way to describe it. Everything, God is with him. The whole prophecy of Azariah ben Odeh didn't appear in Malachim. It seems to be a different story. The author of Malachim was Yirmiyahu. No, we go till Tisha B'Av. Unless I decide to go for a vacation in Turkey or Afghanistan.